NBA Strayer. Hey, Gavin, that's right. It's NBA Strayer. It's Wednesday, November 20, all day. And I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff. That green, that booze money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today, raking down and wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while wrapping Australia. Just a little bit, mate. That's what we do here. So, fun day of basketball action. We had another return of Australia's favourite sons after yesterday. No, it's not Daniel Amalm. It's Brett Brown and his crazy accent. Yeah, it was like, whoa. Okay. To the Boomers head coaching job. Noish. We also had Melo's return to the NBA for the Blazers. Womp, womp, womp. And a brutal AD LeBron smackdown, as well as the Phoenix Suns running out of steam without the Big Baines train there today. Yeesh. So that's all going to be covered in the game wraps, as well as all the usual dumbassery. That's not an iFold, mate. No, mate. Spud of the night, bands of the evening, and better than Lonzo Ball. Of course, there's Yeah Nah, there's the unpopular opinion of the day, and there's Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame-grilled take. There's Australian Player Watch, there's the Mark Bradkey Memorial Sweaty Hairy Bloke of the Week, and a great moment in NBA Australia stat history. We'll pick and preview all the games tomorrow. There's a shit ton of them too. And we're going to finish up with a brand new Rowdy's Reco as Ryan Brockhoff swings by for a new life hack. Awesome. All right, great show for you. Let's get to it. NBA Show episode 359. Let's go.
This is Matthew Delvedover and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Whoa, you better. Well, you better watch out for the attack of, I don't know, what, Father Time if you're Carmelo Anthony. Or you better watch out for that dropping axe if you're Andre Lamanis, eh? Oh, geez, that's right. It is the daily whip around every day. That's how we start off NBA Australia. That's right, Brett Brown is back, baby, with his weird accent. It's like for real North, but also like, yeah, weird. A bit of Aussie thrown in there, but also not. Brett Brown finalizing a deal with Basketball Australia to become the new Boomers head coach, returning to the gig that he once held. Took them to the 2012 Olympics, where we finished 7th. And then Andre Lamanis took over, and we finished 4th in Rio and 4th at the World Cup. Boy, do I have some thoughts about this. That's going to pop up later. Who'd be surprised if Dave Simmons and Bruce Bolden aren't assistant coaches? Just saying. What else? Oh, yeah, Carmelo Anthony started today for the Portland Trailblazers. No biggie. Oh, yeah, he also signed his one-year non-guaranteed deal. That'll be worth $2.15 million, depending on whether or not he makes the roster past January. Jesus. Melo came out and said, the greatest feeling of all was to feel wanted by a group of guys who believe in me and my talent, what I can bring to the game. It wasn't just the players, it was the coaching staff. They really showed a strong level of belief in me and what I can still do. And then he probably started crying because what he can still do apparently is fucking suck. That's right, let's get into the game wraps. We'll talk about that. Golden State beat Memphis 114-95 down there in Tennessee. Smoked it in the first half. 61-46. Golden State just looked really good. Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson, little big dog, combined for 31 points in the first half and shot 13 of 18. Not bloody bad. Memphis shot 40% and got out-rebounded 37-51. Yep, that'll do it. Ja Morant had a rough one, I'll tell you. 7-20 shooting. 20 points, 6 assists, 3 turnovers, minus 25. That is brutal. 15-11 for Jay Crowder, sure. Brandon Clark had a 17.5 rebound, 3 assists, 1 steal and a block game, which is pretty bloody good. 7 of 17 shooting, though, for Dylan Brooks. 18 points, 0 assists. That's the Latrell Sprewell. Love that. Golden State Warriors, I mean, Alec Burks absolutely crushed it. Finished with 29 points. He was awesome. 5 turnovers, but 9 of 15 shooting. Little Big Dog had 20 in the end, 8 of 14 for him. Eric Paschal had 17-5. Draymond came down hard on his arm, but still at 8 points, 10 rebounds, and 11 assists. Good on you. And Marquise Chris, that's right. The infamous man with a basketball IQ of a fucking beach umbrella, 17-6 with 4 blocks. Yeah, that also happens when you play the other worst team in the West, don't you? Grizz are now 5-9. Warriors snap a 7-game losing streak. They're 3-12. Boldrews. Portland. That's right. They are the new home of Carmelo Anthony. Rolled out a starting lineup that actually featured Carmelo Anthony and CJ McCollum. And you're like, oh, here we go. But also, no, Dame Lillard, this was a tough one out there. Yeah, so suddenly we had CJ McCollum, Rodney Spudhood, Anthony Simons, Carmelo Anthony and Hassan Whiteside starting for an NBA team. That is weird, isn't it? And yeah, they lost 115-104. Spindles. Spindles Ingram came back for the Pels. This was close in the first half. It was really fun. And then the Pels outscored the Blazers by 10 in the third, thanks to Nicola Malley and JJ Redick. And it was kind of halfway through that quarter where you're like, ah, oh, whinging Hassan Whiteside fucking stinks. Ugh. Can't stand it. The Blazers, look, their starters shot, what, 26 of 58? Yeah, not great. 22 points for CJ McCollum. Not quite CJ McCollum because that came on 22 shots. Kobe! 14 and 14 for Wynj and Hassan Whiteside. But dude also had 4 turnovers and gave 0 fucks on defense. And it's just hard to watch him. You just know that PDX Pete's like punching a fucking wall somewhere right now. 13 for Anthony Simons on 4 of 13 shooting. Jesus, Spud Hood at 8 points on 12 shots. Jesus. Nasir Little was Nasir Big, I think, for a bit there. 12 points, 11 rebounds. Not bad. Had a good showing. 2 blocks. Also had a pretty horrible charging call when he pulled one of my favorite moves where he charges towards the basket. There's a defender who stops dead in front of them. He bowls them over, clearly outside the circle. And gets called offensive foul for a charge. And then he's like, yep, that was my fault. It's like, well, that's right on this hit. Like, it was nobody else's fucking fault. Like, you should have passed the ball to the left wing where you had a dude open. Instead, you ran fucking straight into a dude. What the fuck? But hey, man, at least he took, responsibility for it. He shot 5 of 6 as well. But Jimmy, talk to us about Carmelo. Nah, look, we'll get to that in a second because Jesus has not missed a beat. And if you remember his last couple of stints, that's not good. Pelicans, no Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball, Jahlil Okafor, Faves, or Zion, obviously. But Spindles came back. He had 21 points on 20 shots, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. Also got fucking muscled out of a couple of things a couple of times. You're like, oh, Spindles, you're so spindly. 22 points and 10 assists for Jrue Holiday. JJ Redick hit 4 threes on his way to 18. And Nicola Malley, hello! It's a me, Nicolo. 14 and 6, 11 for Etwan Moore. He wasn't Etwan less today. Portland dropped to 5 and 10. And the New Orleans Pelicans are 5 and 9, which is pretty cool. Phoenix. Oh, Jesus. This should have been a laugher. But look, they stayed in this against the Kings, the old Suns. 116-120 it ends up. Weird how Sacramento kind of just let them back in it. And it was like pretty annoying because you're like, oh, look, Sacramento, what are you doing? And then just down the stretch, Bogdan hit another 3, part of his career high. They ended up being outscored 41-33. It was much worse earlier on. So luckily, Sacramento hold on for a win. Mostly due to some sweet Bogdan and Belly shooting that won it. Suns looked a little bit gassed, as predicted yesterday, on a back-to-back. And look, no Aaron Bangers Baines means that the Phoenix Suns have no fucking chance. Just saying, he was out with a hip contusion after yesterday's game against the Celtics where he banged it into Jaylen Brown. So for the Suns, Devin Booker had 30 points and 8 assists. Rubio was not good. 0 of 7. I mean, Jesus, that was back spasms against Boston, came back and was shit. So I don't know what to tell you there, man. 0 of 7 from the floor, 0 of 3 from downtown, minus 14 in 16 minutes. Not great. Kelly Oubre had 20 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 steals. Frank the Tank had 17 and 20 for Mikal Bridges. 18 for sneaky Cam Johnson. He was good. I like him. Sacramento, they shot 53%. And only just held on to win. That helped mitigate the 18 turnovers. Yeah. Bogdanovich. He was fucking awesome. 31 points, a career high, 7 assists, 11 of 14 from the field, 7 of 9 from downtown. He was everything for Sacramento today, especially because Buddy Hield sucked. 12 points on 3 of 14 shooting for Buddy. Rashawn Holmes was good. He had 20 points, 15 rebounds, the big man. Corey Joseph had 14 assists, but only 6 points. 17 for Belly Bielitsa. Isn't that Norse? But there you go, Sacramento. Good job. Hold on. Not bad. Phoenix are 7-6 now. Just saying, I might have called this last week. Sacramento, meanwhile, crushing it 6-7 after starting out 0-5. So they're 6-2 in their last eight. The Suns have dropped the games against the Celtics and the Kings and the Lakers of their last four. And, yeah, I don't know, man. Feels karmic-ish, doesn't it, for all the shit-talking they were doing on Twitter. And the final game of today, Lakers OKC. This was wild. OKC fought back into this out of nowhere. Lakers were pretty much like, yep, we've got this. She's laughing. And OKC just sort of gave him the old clamps. See how we go. Stuck around. Gave him a scare. And then, in a surprise twist, the fucking refs jobbed whoever was playing the fucking Lakers. The fix is in! I fucking told ya! Anyway, yeah, down 5, less than 30 seconds left after a bullshit travel call against Danilo Gallinari that probably sealed the games to the fucking Lakers. Like, there's just... like, even the Thunder announcers were just like, well, that's just not a travel. Like, he didn't lift his fucking foot. The ref's literally sitting there staring at Gallo's foot going, nah, you lifted that. And Gallo's like, no, I didn't. And the ref's like, nah, you did. And he's like, no, I didn't. He's like, nah, you did. It's a travel. Fuck you. And you're like, what? He quite clearly did not lift his foot. That is not a fucking travel. What the fuck? Refs jobbed the Thunder. But then the Thunder really jobbed themselves because Chris Paul took the most important shot of the game straight after that. Bricked it fucking horribly over the top of AD. It's like, Chris, do you realize that this man's a fucking foot taller than you, you short piece of shit? No surprise as well that you missed it because you were one of six up till that fucking point, you dickhead. Ugh, Chris Paul, you're the fucking worst. Shai Redick-Gilgeous-Alexander had 16 points on 16 shots. Not great. 4 rebounds, 4 assists, but damn. I still like him. It's hard not to. Danilo Gallinari was very good. 7-11 shooting. I'll have the sausage roll, thanks. 25 points for Danilo. 31, though, for German Rondo and Dennis Schröder. 12-20, and you can't be wasting fucking good Dennis Schröder games. Jesus. Meanwhile, Chris Paul fucking stunk. 30 minutes, 1 of 7 from the floor, 0 of 2 from downtown. 10 assists, 4 steals, 5 fouls, 4 points. Gah! Chris, you're meant to be auditioning for the Lakers, not stinking up the joint against them, you fucking moron. Lakers, look, AD was unstoppable. 34 points for him, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, and 2 blocks. Jesus. 13-24 shooting. Hit 3 threes. God damn, man. LeBron had a triple-double, 25-11-10 with 7 turnovers. 13 for KCP. Hit a 3 late that sealed the game as well. And everyone's like, oh, KCP is actually not that bad. It's like, no, he is. He's bad. Fuck you. 8 for Rondo and Caruso. And JaVale McGee had 4 blocks as well. Lakers just looked pretty good in this, like really controlled it without really seemingly exerting themselves. And that's fucking terrifying for every other team. OKC, 5-8. Lakers, 12-2. Oh, wait, 5-9. 12-2. There we go. Nice one. All right, let's get to the NBA Australia approved, isn't it? Player. Performance. There we go. Of the Knights.
That's a knife.
And we'll just take a moment to appreciate some Joshua De Laurentiis here. How good is this fucking song? Not bad. Love it. Nice. Anyway, the NBA Australia approved performance of the night. Bogdan Bogdanovic was fucking amazing in his career high, 31, 11 of 14 shots. He missed 3 times. He went 7 of 9 from downtown. 4 rebounds, 3 steals, 7 assists. He was fucking gross. But LeBron and AD were really, really, really good. I mentioned it. 34 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks for AD. Jesus. 13 of 14 shooting from the floor. LeBron had 25, 11 of 10. And with that triple-double, LeBron apparently becomes the first player in NBA history to have a triple-double against all 30 NBA franchises, which is pretty funny because he's played for 3 different ones. And they are still counting the Sonics as the Thunder franchise, which fucking annoys me no fucking end. But weirdly enough, in his first game against the Thunder back in 2004, LeBron almost had a triple-double. He missed it by 1 rebound and 1 assist. And then finally, 27 games later against the Thunder, he gets one. So there you go. Not bad, LeBron. Think he's going to have a good career. What do you think? Old mate, no mates.
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 Old mate, no mates. Who's got no mates today? Oh, gonna speak about LeBron. How about Giannis? Yeah. Jesus. 11 games so far. He's had 23 offensive fouls caught on him. Last year, he played 72 games. He had 68 offensive fouls. So if you add that up right now, Giannis is on pace to have double the offensive fouls called on him so far going into this season. At the moment, he's up to 4.8 turnovers a game, and 2.2 of those are offensive fouls. Hey, want to know how many offensive fouls LeBron's had called against him this year? Remember, Giannis had 23, 2.2 a game. LeBron has 3 all fucking year. It's fucking rigged! Just saying. Poor Giannis. Like, what the fuck? He won MVP. What more can he fucking do to garner some respect? It's some bullshit. Yeah, if you want to pay attention to that, just check out Kane Pittman's Twitter. Old mate Kane, friend of the show. All right, Spud of the Night.
Spud of the Night.
Carmelo Anthony. That's right. If you remember, if you're a long-time listener of the old NBA Australia, you might remember Spud Anthony. That's right. His Thunder tenure was basically marked by him turning into Spud Anthony. And what an amazing return for Spud Anthony. Carmelo Anthony. In his first game back, all the love that is thrown out there. Now, man, you got to get all these guys back. We've got to get Jamal Crawford. We've got to get J.R. Smith. We've got to get Carmelo back. And then this is what happens. They fucking stink. Like, he fucking stinks. I don't know what to tell you. 4 of 14 he shoots. 5 turnovers. 5 fouls, 0 assists, and a minus 20 in 24 minutes. Carmelo shit. Over his last 500 NBA minutes, including playoffs, Melo's teams are minus 13 points per 48 minutes when he's on the floor. The Blazers are outscored by 20 with Melo on the floor today. That's tied for the third worst plus-minus in Melo's career in fewer than 25 minutes played. Yep. The offense for the Blazers as well was way better when Melo didn't touch the ball. This is an amazing stat. This popped up. Melo didn't touch the ball on 25 plays. The points per play for that. Oh, when he did touch the ball, sorry. 25 plays, he touches the ball. Points per play, 0.64. 27 plays when he didn't touch it. Points per play was 0.93. That is more than a third. And when he was off the floor, they had 63 plays. Points per play, 1. 24 minutes on for Carmelo. 24 minutes off. The off rating with Melo. Oh, geez, 82. Off rating without Melo, 118.9. Jeez, offensive rating, right? So the offensive rating when Melo's out there, 82. Without him, 118. Jesus! How about the defensive rating? With Melo, 122 they're giving up per 100 possessions. Without him, 101. Jesus, it's 21 points! The net rating with Melo, minus 40. Net rating without Melo, plus 17. Mate, if that's not spud-worthy, literally... nothing is. Absolutely fucking crazy. Nice one. Pantsing of the Night. Literally, I think, I don't know, anyone who's kind of like, oh, well, there's also Charles Barkley saying some dumb shit and because he's a fucking, I don't know. Look, Charles Barkley coming out and getting pants by someone saying some shit about, so what? The idea of, like, people are now like, oh, here we go. It's the fired Charles Barkley fucking... hashtag rolling. Alexi McCammon, she tweeted out, just FYI, Charles Barkley told me tonight, I don't hit women, but if I did, I'd hit you. And then when I objected to that, he told me I couldn't take a joke. Jesus. Yeah, look. You know, love Chuck, but that's a panting and a half, isn't it? Better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody, as long as everybody is also in the bankruptcy lines, because I hope you got your merch, got your merch.
People.
Get your merch.
Wear it.
Get your merch. Get your merch.
Oh, yeah. What's the color of bankruptcy? Is it purple?
See me posted with the fam. See me posted with the brand. Y'all just do it for the gram. And we do it for the fam.
Purple, that's right. Better than Lonzo Ball today. Brandon Clark, 17-5-3-1-1. How about Ja with his 20? But I actually love this because better than Lonzo Ball is his little brother. That's right. At least he reckons LaMelo came out. The teammate said Lonzo's really good. And LaMelo said, I'm better than him. Nice. There you go. LaMelo Ball, better than Lonzo Ball, according to LaMelo Ball. All right, a bunch of Andre Lemanis, Brett Brown talking. Yeah, nah, right after, let's say this one.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. You ready for some yeah nahs where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah? Number one, this is actually going to be a bunch of Andre and Brett Brown. What do you reckon? You excited, Australia? Right, first off is firing Andre Lemanis and getting Brett Brown to take over the Australian national team, male national team, a good move. Yeah nah? Fuck yes! Come on, man. Boobers are serious now. They're not using a bloke who's come last in his domestic comp twice in the last 3 years. And clearly use selections to play favourites with players and get them to some of the bullets. Look, I actually just really, really appreciate this simple fact, because when you look at Andre Lemanis and you look, okay, cool. So that's neat. Domestic coach, I'm on board with that. Can we get someone with, like, I don't know, NBA head coaching experience, maybe? Just, if you want to be really fucking serious about this sort of shit, spend some serious fucking money and get a serious fucking coach and not an NBL guy who's come last in twice the last 3 years. Come on, man. That said, is Andre Lemanis, Jimmy, a bad coach? Yeah, nah, no, he's not. I've talked a lot of shit about Andre Lemanis, but you don't make the final four of major tournaments if you are a shit coach. I tweeted this out. I appreciate the structure and the systems Lemanis incorporated into the Boomers. And that's fine. And of course, you know, some other good stuff that he did. I really feel like some of his adjustments were pretty good. But at the same time, a lot of his rotations and selections are right up there in the fucking big question mark category. And look, you can also say, yeah, he made the final fours of major tournaments and the structures and systems were good. But were they the best structures and systems that made the best of the available talent, aka the most top-level talent we've ever had in Australia, ever? And this is where it sort of falls down. Probably not, because did Lemanis piss off a bunch of that top-level talent? Fucking yes! Yeah, nah, yeah! Fuck yeah! And if you think otherwise, what are you doing? I reckon you're probably fucking, I don't know. What do you reckon? Are you dreaming?
He's dreaming.
What do you think?
Dreaming.
Look, Simo, Bolden, Modem, Dang, Creaky, you think they were all like, oh, this dude definitely knows what's up. I'm definitely taking this on board. Fuck, no. I mean, come on, man. Modem sitting there going, all right, yeah, this seems like it's been worked out really great. So, oh, yeah, I'm just going to fuck off over to Lithuania. Creaky sitting there going, yep, I'll just be, no, it's a good call. Simo just going, oh, I'm going to be in Australia, but actually, fuck that, I don't want to play for you. Bolden literally leaving. Yeah, you know, it's tricky, it's interesting. Do you think Brett Brown can handle that a little bit better? Yeah, nah, fuck yeah. So, with all that said, though, as Olgan asked on Twitter today, was it a successful era? Yeah, nah, yeah, it was, because we were right in the middle of everything. The thick of things, the Olympics and the World Cup. The tricky part of that question is, like, could it have been a more successful era? Yeah, nah. Yeah. His propensity for shitting away leads nearly fucking killed me during the World Cup. And look, I know he's not making turnovers and missing free throws and shit, but if you don't think the coach plays a part in helping control or mitigate that, then again, you're dreaming. Dreaming. And in the end, I think there's probably about a 10 to 15% of a ceiling not hit by his teams, probably due to a combination of his rotations, selections, play calling, and just general sort of like, but I don't know, fuckwittery that sort of popped up every here and there. So we actually then got asked by Mad Dogs there on Twitter, Brett Brown will bring us an Olympic gold, well, an Olympic medal. Yeah, nah. You know what? Yeah, I reckon. Fuck it. Simo and shooters, we'll smoke them. Simo bangers, jingles, rowdy patty, shut it down. Ball handlers, bigs, wings. I think Australia's got a good mix. Just pick the right team. Brett, get the rules and everybody roles sorted. Go hammer and tongs. Medal. Love it. Yeah. Basically, coming out of this, Brett Brown, for all of his foibles with Philly, I feel like he gets a bad rap continuously. I think he has a smart approach to the game that will get the best out of this version of the national team. I feel good about it. Lamanis, not a bad dude, not a bad coach. Probably, as mentioned, 10 to 15% of a ceiling not hit by him. Maybe Brett Brown can do that. Final one, Ian. Oh, Rap Ragamuffin there on Twitter asked, they started Mello, 4 of 14 shooting, 5 turnovers, 5 fouls, minus 20 and a plus minus. Is Portland tanking? Yeah, nah, you know what? It might not be a bad idea, you know? Yeah, nah, yeah. At the moment, the Blazers are literally the second worst team in the West. They're 5-10. Even the Thunder, Pelicans, and Grizzlies are all ahead of them at 5-9. And the big problem is, for tanking purposes, the East has a glut of shit teams, with the Hawks, Pistons, Cavs, Bulls, Wiz, and Knicks all sitting there as well below them. But you know what? Hey, Portland, might not be a bad idea. Just saying. You could kind of half-heartedly play out this season, end up with a top five pick. Say Dame picks up like, a hammy. He's out for like a month or two. Maybe end up with a top five pick. You'd be laughing then. Nice. All right, unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
I still think Mello, look, getting Mello at least is a fine idea. I mean, the results did not play that way out today. It's his first game back. Fuck it. Why not kick the tires? See if there's anything in there. It might go. It might not. And if not, you're tanking. Who gives a shit? Fuck it. Maybe this year just is not your year. Pack her up, boys. We've got Mello. Dig it. All right. What about Outback Takeouts for today? It's Wednesday at Outback. And you know what that is? West Sydney Razorback Ribs, cooked by West Sydney Razorback legend Derek Rucker, cooking West Sydney Razorback Ribs, only on Wednesdays at Outback. And today's flame-grilled West Sydney Razorback Ribs are Carmelo Anthony chose 00, not because he thinks he's fucking James Bond or some dumb shit, but because that's how many more games he'll play for any other team in the NBA. Only at Outback. Yeah, that checks out. All right, Australian Player Watch right after this.
Hey, this is Isaac Humphries, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Australian Player Watch, we had zero Aussies in action today because with Bangers out with his hip contusion, he missed the game against the Sacramento Kings there. Pretty weird. One of the random days where we don't have an Aussie out there hammer and tonging away for us. We'll check in all the G League action tomorrow because Jonah, Dengadel, Isaac Humphries, William McDowell White have been doing some shit, so that's really cool. So instead, let's check out the Mark Brakey Memorial Sweaty Hairy Bloke of the Week, shall we? Yes! Love a bit of Mark Brakey Memorial Sweaty Hairy Bloke of the Week. And if you don't follow Mark Brakey on Instagram, what are you fucking doing? He's a great follower. You know, the big fella's gone through another knee surgery. Loves his paddleboarding. Personally, never got paddleboarding. It's like, just fucking surf. And he does surf as well, but the paddleboarding thing, I don't know. It's like, it's just much more calm, bro. It's like, yeah, I get it. I don't know. You remember fucking BT from the footy? I remember him paddling, you stand up paddling past me when I was in lawn. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing, BT? Get the fuck off that, you idiot. Anyway, the Sweaty Hairy Bloke of the Week. I think this might be a repeat winner. He won it last week. Frank the Tank. Frank Kaminsky, do play 27 minutes. It looked like, you know how they show people like right after they've won a gold medal or some shit in the swimming or something, like, and they're like fucking blowing shit out of their nose and they're all fucking a little bit discombobulated, like, oh, they're dying! Ah! And they've got goggles on and there's like water everywhere. They're all fucking just like, ah! Blah, blah, blah! They've been underwater for fucking 800 meters for like the last 4 minutes or whatever. And like, that's Frank the Tank, but he's like run one length of the fucking court. I don't know, man. His nose is fucking massive, so you know he's blowing hard. He's like, whoa! Ah! He's just got stupid eyes as well, so I don't know what to say. Maybe I just hate his head. I think that might be it. Big old fucking long head, Frank the Tank. But look, I can't actually, you can't tell. Like, he's got a stupid beard as well, where it's like very, very finely groomed. And you can't tell if he's like a hairy bloke otherwise, but he is very fucking sweaty. So Frank the Tank, there you go. You might be a back-to-back Mark Brakey Memorial Sweaty Hairy Bloke of the Week winner. Nice. All right, what about a great moment in NBA Australia stat history? That's what we do on Wednesday. So let's do that one right bloody now.
Great moments in NBA Australia stat history.
Oh, yeah, motherfuckers. All right. Love this one. Last week was the 26th anniversary of a great moment in NBA Australia stat history because it featured Ricky Grace scoring his only NBA points. Yes, Ricky Grace back in November 93. He was pulling him on for the Atlanta Hawks. Don't forget, not the old Perth Wildcats like we all remember. Next to his old college mucker, Mookie Blaylock, a.k.a. Pearl Jam, a.k.a. Mookie Mookie with the good hair, a.k.a. Mookie in the slammer. And in a blowout to Michael Jordan's eventual champion, Chicago Bulls, Ricky played 4 minutes. Probably checked by JoJo English, I reckon, in that one. And in those 4 minutes, he scored a total of 4 points. That's not bad. 4 minutes, 4 points. Jesus. So after his debut game, he's just out there going, oh, shit, guess what, guys? Not bad. Actually, hey, that wouldn't have been. Yeah, that's 93. That would have been the year that Jordan actually left the Bulls. Yeah, because he would have won 91, 92, 93. Yeah, left for that season. So there you go. He was actually playing next to Kevin Willis, Mookie Blaylock, Neek, John Konkak, Stacey Augman. Awesome. Craig Elo? Fucking grouse. Going up against BJ Armstrong, Horace Grant, Stacey King, Bill Cartwright, Tony Kukoc. Wow, nice. Anyway, so Ricky Grace, pretty cool. 4 points, 4 minutes. That's a per 36 average of 36 points a game, don't forget, after his debut. He went 2-3 from the field, had a chance to score even more, but he missed both free throws. But there you go. To show how far back the anti-Australian bias of the NBA goes, he also got called for a bullshit foul in 4 minutes. Ricky only played two more games in the NBA. He had other ops to head back, but always chose to stick in Perth because he was an absolute fucking legend. He was a naturalized Australian the year after. Therefore, Ricky Grace. Oh, I'm having a good one today. Jesus, can you tell I'm still sick? But Ricky Tiki Tata, Ricky Grace, absolute legend, Perth Wildcats legend, on your Ricky. That was fucking awesome. What a great moment in NBA Australia state history. All right, the Paddy Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. Nothing from Paddy today, but we do have the Creek Freak. And what do we call it when we go to the Creek Freak Instagram? That's right, it's the Creek Freak Instagram Appreciation Inspiration Society. And today, Creaky posted out a thing about kids' safety is paramount this summer as well as year-round. Make sure you're doing simple things in order to prevent any mishaps. Swimming lessons first in securing your pool and follow KidSafe AUS, that'd be Australia, to keep up to date or go to www.kidsafe.com.au to find out more. Hashtag KidSafe Australia. Hashtag KidSafe. Hashtag ad. No shit. Anya Creaky, just out there doing it for the kids. I fucking love it. What a legend. Friend of the program. Creaky, you're a superstar. Right, let's go to the game previews.
Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
No problems. You're sounding a little bit better today. I'm pretty well dosed up on the old cold and flu tablets and stuff, though, bro. So it's all good. I don't quite need the Bane's fucking...
But still. All right, let's how'd we go today? We went 1-4. Rough one in our picks today. Blame the Lakers for letting OKC get back in it because I think they were covering... what do we have then? We had -9.5 from yesterday. They were covering that easily until like the last 3 minutes of the game. Sacramento covered -2 and Portland fucking stink. They killed us and so did Memphis. We had them as 6.5-point favorites and they got fucking killed by Golden State. Brutal one. Thanks, Memphis. For the year, we're now at 107 of 197. So not bad. Still back over 100, 50%. So that's pretty good. All right, tomorrow we've got 11 games. This is going to be bonkers. We've got Spurs at Wizards. Spurs, 2-point favorites, which is just a slap in the face of the Spurs, but they have been so fucking bad of late. It's really hard to get a handle on them. But you do have to imagine that they're better than the Wizards, right? I don't fucking know, man.
pretty crazy. I'll take the Spurs minus two, though. Knickerbockers go to Philly to check out the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers are 12.5-point favorites at home. It just seems like that might be a little bit too many. 12.5 points is a lot. Look, the Knicks fucking stink. Actually, nah. Ooh, that is a tough... No, I'll take the points. Give me the plus 12.5. The Knicks will probably get beaten by 10 or 11. Maybe even 12. 12.5 is a lot. Knicks can sort of do some stuff, so who knows. And Philly, I don't know. They're not entirely convincingly offensively, are they? So, Cleveland. That's right, Stephen A. Smith. Cleveland. Take on the Miami Heat. They are 9-point underdogs in Miami. They got their asses kicked the other day in New York. They might have a case of the South Beach flu. I'll take the Heat minus 9. Bucks at Atlanta, 11-point favorites. I'll take that. The Hawks have just looked pretty gross of late. Bucks are really coming on strong. Warriors at Mavs. Warriors on a back-to-back. Mavs, 13.5-point favorites. Seems like a lot. Warriors on a back-to-back. Probably no Draymond after his arm bang. It's still a lot of points. Give me the plus 13.5 for the Warriors. They just, you know, two out of every three games, they're sort of vaguely within 13.5 points. So, Jimmy, that's pretty scientific. Fuck you. Hornets at Nets. The Nets can't be trusted with anything, but maybe you can trust them to beat the Hornets at home. Maybe. Is this the big bounce back game? I think it might be. Give the Nets minus 4. Magic at Raptors. I'll take the Raptors minus 4 there as well. The Magic, look, they've been a little bit better. They've been good of late. But the Raptors, I feel like, will have just enough to take care of the Magic. Actually, Magic are good. Fuck it. Give me the Magic plus 4. Always seemingly okay against the Raptors too. Pistons at Bulls. Give me the Pistons plus 1.5. The Bulls are the most infuriating team, and Detroit are very close behind as well. But I'll take the Pistons plus 1.5. This might be one of those games where the Bulls finally turn around and getting good, but I don't know, man. Jazz at Wolves. Jazz are 2.5-point favorites for some reason. A lot of that's probably to do with the fact that, I don't know, the Wolves just beat them by 10. That makes no fucking sense. Give me the Wolves plus 2.5. Rockets at Nuggets. Nuggets, 2.5-point favorites against the Rockets. I'll take that. I think the Houston win streak comes to an end in Denver. And Boston take on the Clippers in a wicked fun matchup. Plus 5 for the Celtics. And if they're without Marcus Smart, I'll take the Clippers minus 5. Don't know about Smart, but yeah, look, just check that closer date. But yeah, minus 5, give me the Clips. Holy shit. We made it. That's 11 games tomorrow. Can you believe it? That's going to be fun as hell. So yeah, we'll be back tomorrow to talk about all those 11 games. I'm sure there'll be a lot of shit going on. So make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, IG. We're all over the socials, you know that. Get around NBAAustralia.com. If you're going to go buy some shit from Amazon, first go there. Click on the giant Amazon button. You go do your shopping. They kick us a shekel or two on the back end. Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever app you use on your Android phone. If it can rate and review, please do so. It helps out heaps. Check us out on Spotify. Chuck us a follow there. And on Stitcher. It really helps. Thanks. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now. It is the best album released in Australia this year. It is unreal. Also, big thanks to Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers. For all the tunes you heard throughout the show, give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And we are going to close out with a brand new Rowdy's Reco today, which is awesome. Love a good Rowdy's Reco. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, Lido! Friends, it's Ryan Rowdy Brockoff here, back for the latest installment of Rowdy's Reco, where I, Ryan Rowdy Brockoff, try to help you live a little bit more of a stress-free life. I mean, after all, I played in Indiana, where once a man tried to sell me his daughter. and his other daughter. So I've dealt with ridding myself of my fair share of stress. So, this week's Rowdy's Reco is really, really, really easy. Just, if you ever have a baby, just download some audiobooks. That's right, audiobooks, because when you're barely conscious and still feeding a baby at 3 a.m, they're a great source of information and entertainment. So that's it. Audiobooks. They're really handy and you'll learn heaps, because apparently babies never fucking sleep. Okay, that's our Rowdy Reco for this week. We'll have another one for you next week. Until then, I've been Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff. Keep living your best life. And namaste.